Hey everyone, we want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt's as the company who makes those rad all-over print button-downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They, of course, have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts. They do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code THANKTHEMAKER with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code THANKTHEMAKER to get 20% off of your first purchase.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello there, and welcome to Thank the Maker, a podcast about heroes, princesses, scoundrels, hokey religions, ancient weapons, and all things Star Wars. I'm Adam Russell.
Hey, I'm Nick Ganbarian.
What's up, everyone? It's Mike Forrester. What's up, dudes?
G'day.
Oh, hanging out in my corner.
Wow, look at this new background. Upgrade.
This is my corner right here.
Upgrade.
Nobody puts Nicky in a corner.
Except for myself.
Except for himself.
I'm in the same corner that I've always been. I'm just
flipped around.
Facing the other way.
Wow. Tell us about this art back here. I want to know.
I got all of these at Celebration. This one I got.
Paint a word picture like Chris Parnell in the Stuntman movie with Andy Samberg when he's the radio guy. Through the magic of AM radio.
Yeah.
Paint a word picture about your pictures.
I don't know any artist's name. Sorry. I bet you they don't know my name either.
Maybe we should change
just to be
that.
Fair.
Gary the art.
But yeah, I got all of those at Celebration London. This I got at, I want to say, Designer Con. And then Laura, our friend from Comic-Con, sent me this Ahsoka one.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Well, that's just sweet.
Ain't it?
What is the, is that 332nd troopers on either side?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sick.
Oh, I'm sad. Okay. Sure.
Bad.
Yeah, nice.
I'm crying.
They did.
Good art.
They
good art.
How many 332nd troopers died in that thing? Did they all go down in that ship? Every last one of them?
Yes.
Yeah. I think so.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Can't win them all.
Well, welcome to the Star Wars podcast. This is a show about positivity and where all your friends die. Nick, tell me about this shirt. Let's get this over with because mine shows up later this week and I am admiring this.
Yeah. I love the Roosevelt's ropers. They've done... There was a Mandalorian one that was like kind of like a slate blue and like a burgundy type of thing.
It was dope.
So it made it a little hard for me to wear just because I don't have a lot that matches that. Mm. I really like, they recreated Back to the Future 3, what Marty wears when he goes back to,
yeah.
Well, when he goes to Wild West.
Right. Clint Eastwood.
They did that. Yeah, the Clint Eastwood. I just saw someone wearing that at Disney yesterday. That is awesome. But yeah, this is the first like black roper that they've made that I own. You'd see Darth Vader and Death Stars on it.
And that
brand new
is,
for Father's Day.
It was the Father's Day collection. And now I'm the only daddy in this group. So I would
and
like to say.
And you're the only one without the shirts.
Nick, you are right about that. And that's fine. Adam, did you get your shirts yet?
Yes, sir, today. And for the record, I'm a dog dad and so is Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know,
yeah, definitely birds.
Adam and
Finn.
I have already talked about this. We mean absolutely no offense to anyone who is a dog parent. But what we have decided is that it is much harder for a dog to grow up to be a serial killer if you don't love them. So we just have to put that out there as a note. Okay.
I have one murderer in the house and it's my cat.
Okay. That's true. Yeah. You can't actually, you can't.
He murders.
Well, actually, it's way easier to make a dog a murderer or an attempted murderer.
They just don't tend to succeed. The difference is, though, if a dog assaults someone, they can be put to death.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Just right. casually. That's right. just the thing that happens.
Right. But humans have to go through the legal system, which we know works half the time, if that. Sometimes it works. What are we talking about? Is this a Star Wars podcast? Thank you, everyone, for joining us here. Adam, you have shirts. You're literally unveiling them live on Thank the Maker.
I do. Do it.
Dang. I didn't realize we were doing this, but let's go, podcast people. We're going to
Roosevelt's bag.
Get some swag daddy going here.
Dare Mighty Things, it says on the back. Nice themed bag. Mm-hmm. Open this.
I believe it's compostable. Am I wrong about that?
100%, it says.
Yeah.
Chocolate love. All right, so as I'm doing this, maybe someone else paint a word picture. Someone else be Chris Parnell.
All right, now if you're listening on the podcast at this point, Adam's actually unwrapping his new gift.
And right now, Mike is actually describing what Adam is doing.
This is my first unboxing video.
Hashtag funboxing.
There's a shirt.
So much fun.
I'm going to put one of these on. I'll decide.
I think personally, if you're tuning in, how many people are tuning in right now?
Yes, I like that. The 3D one.
Ooh, 3D Vader?
Yeah, it's got like a like an RGB.
All right, get that close to the camera. Let's take a look at that.
Well, my autofocus isn't on, so.
Oh, that's dope. How come you got that one? Oh, man.
All right, that one's sweet. Well, because I don't live in the upper. Yours is coming via water plane or whatever. It's going to land.
It comes via dog sled, so. Yeah. You have to make sure the dogs are hydrated.
And this is the big all-over print here.
Beautiful.
Oh, dude, that's cocky. That is so cocky.
I feel like I want to like hang that one on the wall. It's just art.
Nice. To put it in a frame like a jersey.
Yeah, exactly.
This Palpatine face right here, this is the one that's in the Rise of Skywalker poster that came from
Sideshow or something, right?
Yeah, it's like a toy graphic, right?
That they reuse. Yeah.
Trooper helmets, here we go.
Ooh, mm-hmm. ooh, 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 ooh. Are they like emoji or like what are they?
No, they're
are they pixels or no? They're just little vectors.
Little vector versions of all the trooper helmets. Not all of them, but a lot of them. From the
Rex is on there.
Old school snowtrooper, modern snowtrooper.
Commando trooper.
Yeah, short trooper.
It's cool.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff. This one's subtle. Like from a distance, you don't quite see the pattern. You can wear this to wherever.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. I haven't opened this other one.
When is that from?
What is that? What could it be?
This can't be the May the 4th stuff, right? That came late?
Yeah, it probably is.
I was going to make a video about this, but I'm terrible at all of this. Oh, yeah. It's got the one that you're wearing, Mike. And it's got this, which I love.
Ooh, that's a very good one. I like that one. Yeah.
Yep. That's what I wore to Disney yesterday, the matching set.
Yeah, you got the tuxedo. Also, you can get the tuxedo. You can get what's called the Roosevelt's tuxedo, where you get the matching pants, the shorts, and the shirt. And trust me, people, that is the fit.
That's the Return of the Jedi 40th anniversary one, which is dope.
I like it.
Definitely shorts for that. Hopefully I have them. I'm going to peek ahead. Yep, I do. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
I've got the one that Mike's wearing here.
I asked a more casual Star Wars fan what their favorite one was today. She actually said sliced noodles.
Huh. Nice.
All right. Someone get into the comments. Does anyone want to see Adam Russell put this stuff on right now?
I do.
We don't have a choice.
My comment is the only one that matters. I'm wearing this one.
Okay. Sounds good. I like it.
Cut the tag off responsibly. Don't yank on it like a barbarian. Okay, I'm putting this on. Here we go.
Do it. And just so you know, everyone out there, get 20% off your order at Roosevelt's using Thank the Maker at checkout.
You got that, y'all? 20% off your first order, aka...
I will say, this is crazy, and I did not expect for this hot take, but I actually think my favorite item they make is the shorts. Shorts are unstoppable. So comfortable. They double as swim shorts.
I have their shorts on right now.
Yeah, same.
You do? What kind of shorts do you have on?
Yeah.
Hello there.
I have, you remember they did recently like a LaCroix pattern?
A LaCroix?
And they called them LaCroix.
Yeah, it's not awesome.
So I'm wearing those.
So, all right, you want to have a podcast now?
Yeah, I guess we should. Oh my God. All right, anyways, got that out of the way. Adam took off his Mosh Eisley shirt. We'll talk about that later.
Sorry, audio only listeners.
Yeah, true.
All we did was a visual podcast for the first 13 minutes of this episode.
Adam will cut it out. It'll cut him out.
All right. All right. They had no idea.
All right. So tonight, We're talking about something very important that I feel like we talked about kicking off because I saw The Flash last night.
This was Mike's topic idea. We had a guest almost lined up. By almost lined up, I mean they reached out to us like a month ago and I just followed up on it last night like an idiot. So like, hey, can you guys be on tomorrow night? And it didn't work out. We found out about that a few hours ago, hit up Patreon for some ideas, and Mike ended up having one. And why don't you tell the people what you want to talk about? If they see the title of this, they know what the hell it is. But
so the topic that we're talking about tonight is kind of it's a twofer. I went and saw The Flash last night. Flash, apparently, according to industry insiders, isn't performing that well, despite doing all the things that these superhero movies have done for the past almost 10 years at this point. It's laced with cameos. It's got all of the nostalgia points in it. And for some reason, people just aren't into it, right? Now, you can say whatever you want to say about the actors, and that's probably all valid, all of that. But you have Michael Keaton back as Batman. And then, coincidentally, today, Secret Wars comes out on Disney Plus.
And on the Marvel side of things.
No, on the Marvel side of things. And I will probably watch that within the next week. But at one point, I was watching this stuff at 5 a.m. because I was so worried about spoilers. And now, I haven't seen 2 entire series on Marvel Plus. So my question for us and for the listeners and for everyone who's chatting along with us live is Star Wars fatigue here? Or is there a reason why we are not getting fatigued on Star Wars? What is the answer? Both of you can respond, and then we'll just end the podcast.
Nick, I'll let you go first.
I don't think it's fatigue. I think it's a quality thing. I think if you have banger after banger after banger episodes or shows and movies and all this stuff, people will be enthralled. I think that a major issue with just the entire entertainment industry is that there's too much entertainment and it's too splintered off into not only 1 million shows, but 10, 20, 30 second videos in the billions on your phone, constantly splintering your attention. So that's probably the biggest issue.
Okay.
But I would also say, to me, just quality of things is a bigger problem here. Also, marketing. I knew The Flash was coming out. I had no idea Secret Invasion was coming out.
You mean came out, because it came out today.
Exactly. No idea that it was coming out, when it was coming out. Had no idea.
Congratulations. You're late.
I'm casual with Marvel. I wouldn't have watched it at midnight or whatever anyway, but I didn't know it was coming out today.
Okay. Adam?
Yeah, I didn't either. Mike, until you said that, I didn't know it was out either. And I honestly think all the Marvel stuff is great. Every bit of it is great. By like on a reasonable scale, by a reasonable metric, a person with reasonable expectations for entertainment, I think it's all great. I think we're getting so much high-quality content now, Nick, like you're saying, in such high quantity that everyone is spoiled. We're like rich kids. They can have any toy they want, and it's impossible to satisfy everyone. So we're going to get to a point probably where all the networks and everything and all the streaming wars start to condense back down, where they're going to have to create some scarcity because everyone's been front-loading their streaming efforts with all of this content in hopes of building a library that people can't unsubscribe from. But eventually they will, and stuff's going to change. And I hope it leads to less stuff, because it is hard to like know where to put your attention. And it's like a weird, crappy first world problem, but stuff stops being special. You know, like I don't think there's any way for Marvel to fix or fight the base human psychology factor that makes people tired of seeing a hero's origin story. It's just going to get old for people. And if they completely change the storytelling style, that's not necessarily going to work either. What do they change it to?
Right.
Like everything starting with Iron Man 1 is in a classic world building hero's journey, you know, introduction into a new world kind of style.
Sure.
They've done a great job of opening up opening up the stories to other cultures, other genders, other ethnicities, everything. And that's awesome. But it's still the same storytelling style. And there's no way to get away from that without making a completely different kind of movie. And I don't think people want that either. So I think it's kind of like an unsolvable problem in a way without, like, short of just stopping. I think it's an unsolvable problem. I think it's like every, like the best band in the world can keep putting out an album every year and a half, 2 years. Eventually people are just like, well, there's another one. Just found out today, you know? And you have to go away and come back to get people pumped again. So it is what it is. That said, though, younger people who are experiencing stuff for the first time who haven't watched the past 29 MCU movies experience it much differently. So is it even a problem? I don't know. It's okay. Weird. I haven't even answered the Star Wars part of it yet, but I think there's just like such a huge cultural and human psychological equation going on that is like Charlie Day with the bulletin board full of all the yarn connecting all the things. Like, yeah. How do you solve it? I don't know.
Sure. So on your side of things, both of you guys, now, if you're just new to Thank the Maker, I am about to blow your mind. Nick here plays in a band called Bayside. Adam here plays in a band called Story of the Year. Both of them have put out very, very many albums. All of them are fantastic. I encourage you to listen to their back catalog. But most importantly, you both have new music that's come out within the last year. From a musician standpoint, where do you balance saying we want something that's familiar to fans and then we also don't want to be Pennywise putting out the same album? And I apologize to anybody that's not a dig at Pennywise. I'm just saying a Pennywise album that came out last year is very similar to the Pennywise album that came out in the early 2000s. That's their style. They're not mad about it. That's what they do.
Yeah.
You guys both have had albums that have done different things. Bayside, especially recently, branched out a little bit. How do you guys do that to say, I still want our core fans to be like, this is my band that I love. At the same time, introduce your music to a new group of fans, because I feel like this is a congruent conversation happening with Star Wars. Also, Marvel is hoping that they're trying to keep people who saw Iron Man in 2008 to be just as hyped in 2023 about the fact that those characters are gone at this point. How do you do this? Tell me about this.
I'm going to go back to my point of quality, and there's other points I want to make too, but we didn't, you know, if you're going to use us as an example, we didn't change our sound and that's why people like it. Like, we evolved our sound and it's good. It's a quality thing. You
but
know?
Did, that, so come, like did people, that come from you internally, like making
yeah,
that
of
decision?
Course. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. And I probably said it last week or the week before, but you can't give people what they want. You got to give them what they didn't know that they wanted. And a lot of lesser well-received Star Wars stuff is, you know, and we'll just say the sequel trilogy, which is, you know, like split 50-50 basically. A lot of complaints are that it was too familiar. And then a lot of complaints were that The Last Jedi was too different. And it's like, well, if you're going to sit on the fence, there you go. You're going to get a 50-50 response from people. I'm going to go back to this marketing thing again, because how do you market these days? Think about us marketing Mosh Eisley in the last couple of weeks.
Nice plug,
we
dude.
Don't
nice.
Know how to do it because Instagram guy. Or social media is apparently the answer, but it's like an unsolvable puzzle to actually market on social media. So yeah. It's what everyone depends on, but it's unsolvable. You can't trick the algorithm to be like, wow, every single person who signed up to follow our content saw our post. It's actually impossible. So marketing is a huge thing, because we can't run a commercial on TV for Mosh Eisley. And apparently we can't really do that on social media either. So how do you market? No idea. No clue. No one knows how to market anything anymore. And I think quality is a really a big deal. I don't think people are tired of good content. I think another issue is we just had like a real golden era of Marvel and Star Wars simultaneously. We had the sequels and the sequels culminating the Skywalker saga and the whole Endgame you know, Infinity War, all that stuff culminating all at the same time. Iron Man 1, 2, and 3 were popular enough to keep making Marvel movies, but they weren't Endgame. They weren't Infinity War. You know, like they weren't, I could be wrong, but I don't think they were, Iron Man 1 was a $1 billion movie, you know, 2 months after it came out. People forget the slow buildup for a couple of years to get to Captain America Civil War, which was the first big multiple superhero. You know, that's a great movie. People forget the buildup. Like those Thor movies are pretty bad until one of them was good, you know, like
the last one.
Captain America, yeah, Iron Man, not great. And Captain America actually is the most consistent out of all of them. But everyone was, same thing with the sequel trilogy and Marvel, they were racing towards an end, so everyone was more invested. Right now, we're Marvel's telling new stories, so everyone's just like, wait a minute, what? Like they forgot about the first 5 years of the MCU where the pieces were being put on the board. They're only thinking about the last 5 years, which are banger after banger after banger. And then the same thing with Star Wars. We all got excited because the Skywalker saga was ending. So
this got me on a good point. Adam, I do want your answer. But this got me on a good point of thinking like we've gotten to a point now for Marvel where in the stories, it always cracks me up because at this point it's like Kang, who's the new like big bad, right? Can basically manipulate time, right? And then it always cracked me up because I'm like, yeah, Hawkeye, shoot your arrows at that guy.
Yeah. Right? That'll work.
Is something you're going to shoot it. I'm going to shoot it even harder and it's going to go even faster. There's like a part of it where is Star Wars got the magic sauce in that the Force, and I hope I don't upset EU fans here, but like the overpoweredness of some of these like legendary characters, like make it so that it doesn't really make sense. But like at the end of the day for Star Wars, the Force is this thing. We have dark side users, light side users. They all have power, but like there's always been a connected part of what makes them unique, but no one overpowers the Force, right? Is that the magic sauce that makes it so that you can have new and compelling characters that have different tactics, but they're not, they don't have this seemingly impossibly unbeatable power? Is that, do you guys think about that? Do you agree with that? Is that part of our decision maybe?
In comic books, all bets are off. I mean, pick a stupid power, assign it to a person, put them in a weird costume, and it can be exciting. At least it has been for the past 100 years.
Gasoline Man.
Yeah, it's all ridiculous and it's all over the top. But it does mess with the stakes because, you know, each new character, at least for the, you know, for the first, I don't know enough about comic books to say this confidently, but it just seems like everyone almost lives in their own universe until the concept of overlapping characters started to really become a thing. And then something like the Avengers eventually created this comic book version of what we eventually got on screen. And So it's like everyone's origin story has to be about like, it has to build up to the biggest thing in the world. And every single person can't build up to the biggest, you know, fate of the universe stakes in everyone's story.
Right.
Whereas the Force against the continuous big bad and the continuous push and pull of light and dark applies to everyone kind of equally in an infinite galaxy where we're not just talking majority Earth stories. You can tell kind of anything, like Din Djarin walking around, you know, just like bopping around the universe, dealing with his ultimately like personal journey is as compelling as, you know, the two most powerful families in the galaxy's history battling at the absolute top tier of everything. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Somebody like Cad Bane can just be out in the desert just popping caps at people. Mm-hmm. And we love that, you know? Mm-hmm. We can tell smaller stories because it's a different... We're playing in a different arena
sure.
with Star Wars.
But all of these characters were kind of dabbling with that, with the world between worlds for Ahsoka coming out. We've also had, you know, like from the video game, Starkiller is like massively overpowered, wouldn't even fit in with like most of the universe that we know is established in canon. You know, but I just look at it, I think of like, you know, I think of like the Hawkeye show. I'm like, there's a bunch of guys in New York, just thugs. And it ends up being Kingpin, right? Who's just a guy. He's just a big, strong guy. There's nothing special about him.
Wasn't there some kind of supernatural-ish super something?
Someone in the comments tell us what we're missing. But I don't think so. Right? Like there's the part of it that's what I'm getting at. And I think at some point I'm watching The Flash last night, which obviously the DC universe is a complete mess. It's a complete zoo. It's been rebooted 4 times since I feel like I've gotten into comic book movies. But certainly there's a part of where I'm just trying to figure out why I cannot wait until August or September to watch Ahsoka. I'm pining. I'm like incredibly geeked for the Mandalorian gallery coming out next week. But for some reason, I used to go see all the Marvel movies in the theater, and I haven't seen a movie. I saw Guardians of the Galaxy a couple of weeks late. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I'm trying to figure out what that is, because like the formula is there, but is it something about the characters at this point? Are they rebooting characters in a different way? Are they trying to, you know, what makes one Force user different from another Force user by having them be their own characters yet similar? Yet why are we cool with some smuggler? Why do we like, is Poe too similar to Han Solo, but simultaneously we love them both independently, when you could argue like, oh, like the new Captain America is different from the old Captain America. Like I don't know what that is. Like what is that?
I feel like there's something just despite the Force putting Force wielders on this upper tier, there's something more human and relatable about the characters in Star Wars, even the aliens. You know, we can kind of all see ourselves as a Han Solo type smuggler. We can all see ourselves as a Jedi or a Sith or something, because all of this is built on the most basic classic archetypes. It's all built on actual mythology. And Lucas did away with the idea that the Jedi were superheroes in episode one in 99, you know, with the conversation between young Anakin and Qui-Gon, when he says, no one can kill a Jedi, and Qui-Gon says, I wish that were so. Mm-hmm. We see them being the best, being the worst, rising and falling just like normal human beings do. And the mystical stuff is just kind of a layer on top. It can all just be metaphor. And comic books do the same thing. But it's all so over the top and so kind of almost cartoonish that I think it's just harder to sell. It gets goofier the more you just throw another person with, you know, like look at all the characters in The Boys. They're no weirder than the MCU characters.
They just do weirder things.
Yeah, we laugh at them. Like the character The Deep. No. You know? What does he do? He talks to fish and sometimes does other things with fish, you know? But that's a totally normal comic book character. Like, what does this one do? I don't know. He can talk to stuff and then they fly out of the water and then they help attack. Like, who knows? You know, it's like a smaller world with more quantity-wise and more quality-wise types of powers, so much that it gets wacky. Whereas Star Wars is the opposite. It's kind of, you've got a basic Force that everyone can tap into at different levels, obviously. And then this giant expansive galaxy that it's all set in, and all these different kinds of people. And we have conversations all the time. We keep talking about, over the past several years, the idea that there are Force users out there that have no idea that they're Force users. Or even if they're, you know, a 3 out of 10, they're still faster and more powerful than someone who's a 1. Han Solo probably has more midichlorians than, you know, Gary at the Tashi station or whatever.
So like nice noodles.
Yeah, so you can tell all these different kinds of stories.
Gary.
And I don't know, I just think there's more to work with. And then when you add to that the fact that we've had such long gaps between stories, we're building off of a cinematic universe from the beginning rather than, you know, decades and decades of comic source material.
Right.
I just think there's more anticipation for it, and at a lower frequency, I don't think it is as likely to have the kind of burnout. Maybe we'll get there in 10 years. Maybe if they start upping the frequency. But if anything, they're reducing it now. We're not going to get a movie for 2.5 years now.
Right. Do you think there's
something... We're getting two that year, though.
That's true. He read about that. Do you think that there's something also about... if you look at like small scale stories, right? Like there were times where I remember feeling like one of the Captain America show, you're like, everybody's a super soldier now. Everyone taking the serum. Okay. The Flag Smashers, I think that was their name. Surprised I remember that. And then at the same time, like you have these stories of like, if we were just to go into small, like basically Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I apologize if anyone who watched that show, like if I'm screwing this up, like it was supposed to be like a smaller, less like we got to go to space and intergalactic and all that stuff. Like it was more focused on like what was happening here on Earth. How is it that Andor featured not a single lightsaber nor a single force user and still made every show feel just as stressful?
Quality. That's why.
Quality.
So nothing's been written
back on this.
Nothing's been. No one's going to complain that there's complain or feel fatigue if there's too much good stuff. It's just that it's kind of all over the place. It's just my lack of excitement and for. I'm excited for Ahsoka, but Mando season 3 made my expectations different. That was the first time that the Filoni Favreau universe didn't deliver for me. So now I'm just like, okay, that's on the table now. It might not deliver because Mando season 1, Mando season 2, Book of Boba Fett towards the end was like banger, banger, banger. This is going somewhere. And then Mando season 3, I think, let me down a little bit. So my expectations moving forward are less now. So I don't think that's a great, that wasn't the plan, but for me, and I think for a lot of people for the first time, the Mandoverse could have some questions, you know, whether it's going to be good or not, like, or as great as it could be.
I'm going to agree and disagree with you. I think quality in the case of Andor is undeniable. That sets it apart. No question. If anyone on Earth would dispute that, I would question their opinion about literally anything. But I also think that the themes in Andor are so real world. The idea that there's this big oppressive, call it government for lack of a better word, and everyone living under it, and the fight up from the bottom of the barrel is like such a relatable story. Regardless of like which side of the political spectrum you're on, everyone's going to feel oppressed at some point. So kind of everyone can relate to it. And then you add the brilliance of Tony Gilroy's writing and here we are. In Marvel, I don't think there's that like constant overbearing authoritarian presence that you can play with in as many ways as you can in Star Wars. Like whether it's you're directly fighting it or you're living on the outskirts away from it and there's shady shit going on and you're a bounty hunter and you know, you run into people that are part of some ancient culture that have these weird traditions that don't jive with what you do. And then that has its little tangent. It all lives in this, you know, battle of light versus dark kind of thing with the thing looming over the head of the entire galaxy that just makes it like, in a way, it just makes it easier to tell good stories in that. Mm-hmm. It's almost like the, like this is going to be a weird analogy, but imagine you've got a whole bunch of Lego pieces, got a giant bucket of just the squares, the rectangles, the flat parts, the single ones, the pointy ones, whatever. And then in the other bucket, you've got a bunch of parts from the kits that you have to follow instructions to make exactly the ship or the building or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like which one are you going to be able to build more shit out of? And I think Star Wars is
the raw parts
is the one. Star Wars is the one that just has the bare bones, you know, Tetris building blocks essentially.
Yeah.
And Marvel's starting with each one of these very distinct, unique in some ways characters and no overarching theme other than like good versus evil.
Sure.
Even then, it's like they have to create a new big bad each generation. And I think that's right. A tough thing to figure out.
And they are doing that in Marvel, but it's taking time. Sure. It's been, when was Endgame? Endgame was around Rise of Skywalker, right? So like 2018, 2019. So yeah. It's only been 3 years and people are like bored already, but Kang is the bad guy. You can't just build up to Endgame, which was a decade, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
You can't just build up, or maybe it was like 12 years, because it wasn't Iron Man 2007, regardless.
Maybe. I think you're right.
Like that. So you can't just then expect to do that entire arc in 3 years and have it hit the same way. So they're not doing it in 3 years. It's not like we just watched Kang Marvel.
You mean to tell me that you can't take one Superman movie and then put Batman and Wonder Woman and Doomsday in just one movie and expect people to care? God, you should have told someone at DC that. Oh my God.
They're a cautionary tale, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right. We need to take a little bit.
I want to say this. There's a bad guy problem. There's a bad guy problem in both, I think. And then also, I think there's a consequences problem because although there's Empire Strikes Back, although there's Infinity War, the next one, the good guys are going to win. The good guys always win. So
sure.
That's what we want, though, right? Like, I'm not gonna be happy when the bad guys win, and then there's no more movies or no more series. It's just, how you get there, kind of.
What made I think Endgame, Infinity War, and compelling was that the bad guys did win, right? That was the whole point.
Yeah.
And then we all had to just sit there and wait in our sadness. I remember like the movie theater was silent after everyone floated away. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh! And I remember literally, I was like with someone, Black Panther floated away, and I was like, and someone in the back goes, what the I was like, oh no, it's all everyone's, you know, Spider-Man with people just crying.
And those purposely went for an Empire Strikes Back type thing. That was their empire of the MCU.
100%. 100%.
Hey everyone, we want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt's as the company who makes those rad all over print button-downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They, of course, have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts, they do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code THANKTHEMAKER with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code THANKTHEMAKER to get 20% off of your first purchase.
Adam, I don't know if you want to go ahead and plug the Discord, because we got some chat going on in the Discord channel.
People are talking. I'm going to call it one that I saw earlier. MC Rocco, he said they don't know, did get a little Star Wars burnout after the short run of Episode 7, Rogue One, Solo, Episode 8, pretty much back to back. That was a packed, stacked few years.
There's one a year.
I wasn't mad at it. But
the quote that I think is interesting, our buddy Jason Chiodo has a good one here, and I think it actually relates. I'd love to riff on this for a second. He said, I think the part of what has kept people so enthralled with the MCU is that it's serialized. I like that. Folks were watching all of the films because it's one linear story and people didn't want to miss anything. Now, the current overarching story isn't as strong as the Infinity Saga, but the one in the DC universe is obviously coming to an end. So seeing the Flash as a second-tier character with a problematic lead, also true, isn't mandatory for the story. There's no immediacy to see it. So he's talking a little bit about the Flash, but his point about Marvel is really interesting, is that right now, where Star Wars is that we have a continuation going of multiple stories that somehow all fit in the same line, but they're inconsequential if you want to focus on them individually, right? So we're about to get Acolyte, which happens way, way, way earlier than anything that we've seen thus far, right? So it gives a chance for someone to go, I know that eventually the Jedi Order will be founded and all of that on Coruscant, which I think Acolyte is that far ahead, 200 years, probably. I think it's the end of the High Republic, right? So about 200, before the Phantom Menace. So you can watch that as an individual and just focus on these characters, knowing that, like, you're not going to see Qui-Gon Jinn show up, right? Like, you're not going to see Mace Windu show up, right? So you can focus on that part. Andor is very interesting because, of course, all of us wanted to have these cameos and, like, oh my gosh, could you imagine if, you know, and they gave us Saw Gerrera, which is a great cameo, but for a lot of people, largely inconsequential, because at the end of the day, we know those stories. But if you're a casual viewer, you're able to just appreciate a great show. Then we have a continuation of Ahsoka, which is in the Mandoverse. But those aren't, like, we're obviously leading up to the sequel trilogy, but you don't have to focus on that, right? And Marvel is kind of like these one and done stories with these cameos tied in, that so far, like, the overarching story is really loosely tied in. Is that part of the problem? Is that what people are also saying? You know, I wonder if, like, Star Wars just has the ability to be able to tell stories at different timelines and have them matter to those individual characters and their side quests.
Yeah. I think we're saying different versions of the same stuff over and over, where the culminating stories in something like the MCU seem to be, you know, like a comic book run, a series that tied everything together, despite the fact that there never was an overarching plan. And even though Star Wars hasn't always had an overarching plan, it has had this very vague long-term story of the rise of the Jedi, the fall of the Jedi, the rise of the Empire, the fall of the Empire. And that spans decades, if not centuries, in each era. So all these things can happen in that context, and they can be smaller stories, ups and downs, that, like you're saying, aren't consequential to the grand story, but we know there is a big ending.
Right.
Or at least there are, the beginning of an ending, right? So, like, the original trilogy was the beginning of the end for the Empire. The Battle of Yavin wasn't the end, but it was, it was 1945 or whatever. You know, it was when all the big shit was happening. So it's just different. And also, there have been so many comic book movies, and they were so cheesy and they were so hit or miss. You know, you had things like the Tim Burton Batman films that were great. But for the most part, until the MCU, they weren't like that.
Most people didn't care about them.
Let me piggyback off of that and just say that no one was an MCU fan until the MCU existed, which was 10 years, roughly a decade long, from start to the finish, the end of Endgame, where Star Wars is the reason that an MCU could exist. So Star Wars just has more deeper roots for a longer time. So I think that anyone who, like, there's probably way more casual Marvel fans than there are casual Star Wars fans. That might be totally wrong, but I feel like the ratio might be trickier than you think, because I think Marvel was so much easier to swallow because it's linear, because it was new. All you don't have to look at a movie made in 1980 and then a movie made in 1999 and then a movie made in 2015.
You didn't You didn't watch all that? Don't you remember that one part?
I do think that, just in theory, the MCU being a decade old when it, like, kind of culminated, had to have bred way more casual people who they're not going to watch Secret Invasion, they're not going to watch Ant-Man, especially if it doesn't get good reviews. I didn't watch Ant-Man until, like, 3 weeks ago, and I see why now. It wasn't good.
I think people are just also intimidated. Star Wars, like you guys are saying, it was such a part of such a massive monoculture in the days before we had content overload. It was so mainstream, and there's so much less of it. You don't have to find a friend who knows the deep lore from the decades of comic books to explain everything to you. You don't need to watch all 29 films to understand the new show that's coming out. You don't need to watch 3 seasons of shows you don't care about to go see the next movie. And Marvel kind of has that. So even though it's not one giant story, it's a bunch of parts of one giant story that overlap and ways that it doesn't necessarily need to. It's more like just for fun. And ultimately, people don't need to know all that stuff. It just makes it cooler if you do. But still, it intimidates people. It's like, oh, God, what is this? Who are these people? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, what's this after credits thing? I personally don't care. It's just all fun. I watch it all eventually. I try to watch it in order. But if I don't know, I go watch a new Rockstars video and they tell me literally everything I need to know and it's all good. But Star Wars, it's kind of like, oh, what's that new Star Wars coming out? They got lightsabers and stuff, right? Cool, I'll watch that. So it's like there are more casuals in that sense, but it doesn't, it's not detrimental to be a casual. People are okay with being a Star Wars casual.
So do we, are we not giving casual Star Wars fans, now obviously if you're here and you're listening to our podcast, you're pretty much like, you're not a casual Star Wars fan. Like if you're listening to a Star Wars podcast, buddy, you're in.
One of us.
So, but are we not giving enough credit to casual Star Wars fans? Like I have friends who aren't like, they're not going to read a book. They're probably not going to watch animated stuff, but like they enjoy the content enough that like, if they don't watch, if they Google Captain Rex and go, oh, he sounds cool. Okay. And then he showed up in a show like, hey, that's cool. I think I remember who that guy is. I always talk about this point of when Bo-Katan shows up in Mando season two or Mando episode two or season two. Mm-hmm. For us hardcore fans, we're screaming in our heads, jump maybe out loud, seats, like yeah, just like, oh my God, the Night Owls are here. Ah, you know what I mean? Like losing our minds. But I also had friends that like were like, hey, who was that? Like that's awesome. Like she's pretty badass. She looks cool. And then you almost have this debate of being like, I want to reveal her story to you and I don't want to do it over text. I want you to experience it, but they're not going to. But then there's some people who just as casual fans, they don't need to have this like emotional journey for each of the characters, right? I think that like, and I think we look at it for like some kids are really into it. The next generation of Star Wars fans, they're going to be doing this exact thing. You know, are we looking at casual Star Wars fans and are we asking them to get more into it, or are we cool with where they're at? And I think we should be, but then simultaneously where, what would motivate a casual Star Wars fan to get more into it in a universe that continues to get added to, lore continues to be deepened. It almost like the train gets further and further away from the station. If you're trying to feel the impact of the weight of the writers who have been up to date on the lore, you know, Matt Martin knows everything up until this point, what's coming next, all of that. Do we give enough credit to the casual fans for keeping most of it alive, or are we looking at hardcore fans saying, thank you so much for arguing on the internet and making podcasts about it? Like, what should we do? You know,
we need the casual people's money and then we need to be the ones arguing. We need them both.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think again, to say what we're saying in a slightly different way, I think it all works without needing to know everything because of that continuous overarching theme of the authoritarian regime that rules the galaxy, or the elite council of Jedi and the thousands of Jedi that kind of maintain peace in the universe. Those are such like basic, fundamental, simple concepts that you can tell all these little stories in between. And like you said, you don't need to know who Bo-Katan is. You don't need to know who Cad Bane is to get stoked when he walks up straight High Noon style.
With the wind chimes.
Yeah, this is just awesome. Like you know the world enough because it's very simple. And, you know, like all the dudes in my band, or two of the dudes in my band, Dan will not ever mess with Star Wars. But Ryan and Josh, they love, love, love Star Wars. Neither of them will probably ever watch the animated stuff. Josh, maybe with his kids. Ryan says straight up, man, I can't watch cartoons. But every time a new character to him, new character shows up in live action who's from animation, he's like, this person's sick. Exactly what you're saying. Like, sure. Dope.
Yep.
What's that show going to be about? You know?
Yeah.
So it's Star Wars is as much as people want to complain, and people love to complain, they've done a great job, and Kathleen Kennedy at the top, greenlighting things, or shelving things and working with the story group and Filoni and Favreau, folks in power, they've done a great job of creating new films and shows. They're meeting people where they are. Yes, there's a lot of deep stuff and a lot of people are intimidated by that, but you don't have to be.
Right.
You can just watch it. I mean, think about the first one. Think about the first film in 1977. How much crap came out of their mouths that no one had any clue about, including George, but it didn't matter. that whole conversation with Obi-Wan in his house with Luke, and he spit out the Clone Wars thing there, didn't matter.
Gibberish.
Yeah, guys, it was all planned. It was all planned. Their sisters, their brothers.
I didn't
even
see it in 1977.
Yeah, I didn't even have to watch the Clone Wars when I saw that in 77. Same thing. You know what I mean?
Because I wasn't born.
The chat too. I mean, I think what we're getting at is like we actually have to give a lot of credit to, because I think what you're actually seeing at this point. So we're going to San Diego Comic Con very soon. Very fun.
Hey,
for a little thing called Mosh Eisley. We'll see you there. Check it out. You may have heard of it. But what I think it might be interesting that we're seeing all this news that like Marvel's pulling out of Hall H. Marvel, DC is, but like HBO, like there's going to be a pretty big shakeup going on. The large speculation, of course, is that Marvel might be hosting their own convention where they control a lot of this stuff, right? Now, we understand, of course, that, Dragon Con is a point for like costuming. You have even sub conventions where they focus on one franchise. Star Wars, of course, with Star Wars Celebration has its own thing. So the difference is that we traditionally see Star Wars Celebration, which might be probably one of the most dedicated fan bases for sure, because I don't know many of my friends that who like Star Wars wouldn't get what we get out of it, right? And that's something to be said for what we do at Celebration. But most importantly is that you look at if I as someone who hasn't really enjoyed the MCU up until Endgame, I wouldn't go to Marvel Con.
I'd probably go.
It could be
if it was easy and cheap, I would go.
Well, yeah, but okay. So that's a good point though. Like so you're in St. Louis, Missouri. If Marvel Con was in New York City, would you go? Would you buy a plane ticket and go to Marvel Con?
Probably not.
Nick?
No, and real quickly, I'm going back to this. There's no way you have enough maniacal fans to travel all over the world in 10 years. In the Iron Man 1 to Endgame, you did not make the same amount of hardcore fans that Star Wars has in 4.5 decades, basically, to travel to Japan for Marvel Con.
I think Marvel Con would and will kill. It will crush, but I probably won't go to it. I mean, if it's in Chicago or Nashville, I'll probably drive there.
Okay, so what's interesting about this is that what I'm getting at is that we are, eventually there is a point where I think we would all consider ourselves to be casual Marvel fans enough that like we've spent money to go see the movies in the theaters, we've paid for Disney Plus to get, you know, we watch the shows like that by default. Kind of puts us in that like, oh, I'm a fan of that, right? Versus some people that I know like still haven't watched Book of Boba Fett. Oh, well, yeah, okay, that's fine, do whatever, right? But what's interesting about it is that the casual fans like us are falling off versus I think casual fans of Star Wars have actually kept the embers hot. And so
that makes sense.
Right. You know what I mean? Where it's like we're already starting to see a Nick's point of 10 years it took us to get to the big show, right? And now continuing after, they're losing. I wonder if they're losing the casual fans versus did they have time? Did they have the resources? Did they have the connections with the hardcore fans to be able to keep all of it alive? I don't know. I think it's interesting that there's a lot of these interesting points where we go, did we get burned out on Marvel because we weren't hardcore about it? But what made us hardcore about Star Wars that was not, you know, did it just come too late? Do kids who are 18 right now that watched watched The Winter Soldier with their dads when they were 8 years old and like dressed up as Captain America for Halloween. Would they go to MarvelCon now? Because those were their movies growing up. That's what I wonder. What is the hardcore fan breakdown for Marvel and DC? What is the hardcore, you know, or are we part of that casual fan base that seems to be like waning a little bit?
I think we're underestimating the size of the comic books only or comic books first fan base. I mean, Comic-Con is called Comic-Con for a reason. If it was just MCU, maybe not. That said, though, look at Star Trek conventions. They're bonkers. They're huge. They're not like Comic-Con huge. They're not Star Wars Celebration huge, but they do really damn well. So Marvel's got this like 100-year history of print, and you know, we're coming on 15 years or whatever of the MCU, not to mention all the hits and misses before. I think the con would do great, but it's a slightly different ballgame. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer.
Interesting. Okay. I think it's worthy of a discussion. I think for us on our side of things, it seems to be the consensus that, of course, the Discord is like blowing up about this. Everyone's agreeing that the perfect movie that could exist standalone, where you don't need anything, no context, literally good guy versus bad guy, a movie that relies on no cameos, cameos if you want, sure, but like doesn't overall like really affect the story, would be a Rogue Squadron movie. Ship go fast, watch mm-hmm. the things blow up. I'll see it 15 times in the theater, right?
Top Gun gifts are going off in the chat right now.
They are. So I guess at some point to take away from the discussion, because I know that we're about wrapping up, but there is a part of me that wants to go on the points that we've talked about tonight. Is the secret sauce that the Force doesn't make anybody overpowered? It makes humanity show its cards, right? Like why do we feel like Tarkin is different from Thrawn, right? Like why do we think that Kylo Ren,
because he's got blue skin.
That's true. thank you Nick for pointing that out. That's true. But I think the point of it, that what we're getting at, is like we've made a couple connections of like why the MCU has almost like shifted its identity due to these kind of imbalances of power. The Star Wars has kept a relatively maintained, you know, power line where it seems like characters are interesting, but they never necessarily like get too big or too small. And then simultaneously, like looking at a casual fan base of saying, you know, are us as casual fans starting to get tired of it for some of those reasons or whatever that might be. I think it's a fantastic discussion. I look forward to seeing the Marvel stuff when I see it. But that being said, get me to the end of August tomorrow so we can watch Ahsoka. Mm-hmm.
One more quick point. I think financially fatigue is probably a top three. Mm. You can't just go to the movies, sign up for Disney Plus, buy shirts, buy Funko Pops, all this stuff for multiple things all the time. It's just, we're not at a place in society right now where people could afford to do that. So that's probably a big part of it.
So you're saying you got to be in on Marvel. Like I never bought a Marvel.
People do though. You know, like people are the way we are with Star Wars or with Marvel. So,
but do you, I mean, there's gotta be people who do both, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we check in on those people financially and make sure they're okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Here's my final point. We've all said this in different ways earlier. This is the theme. There is something so inherently relatable about Star Wars because although superheroes are allegories for regular human beings fitting in, or you know, having a fish out of water story, or a finding yourself when other people don't understand you kind of story, all these things, they are a little more detached. They are singular characters and stories. So you can't have something like the 501st or the Rebel Legion in Marvel because you can't be one of thousands of stormtroopers or Jedi or smugglers or whatever else. And Star Wars lets us be that. And something like Star Cruiser works until the stock market gets in the conversation. Because we got to go live in Star Wars and be our own characters. There's only one Captain America at a time. There's only one Iron Man at a time, ish. You know what I mean? Right. Mm-hmm. So everyone can dress up like them, but everyone's just cosplaying them. There's something different about cosplaying Star Wars. We talk about getting in deep and that deep culture of nerddom that keeps it alive on that level.
I love that.
It's just more. It's more personal. It's easier to relate, and it's easier to lose yourself in the universe, especially because it's, for all intents and purposes, a different universe.
There's something more plausible about Marvel than Star Wars. Like Marvel, a lot of it does take place on Earth, so let's consider that. But I don't know. There's just something less fantasy in a weird way. You know, like Star Wars is, I guess, maybe just the original fantasy, and Marvel came after. And obviously, I'm only talking about the cinematic experience. But yeah, I don't know. It's just way more open world. Like Marvel told you everything that was happening on screen, and there's nothing for your imagination. Meanwhile, not only was Star Wars built for you to use your imagination, there were huge, almost, what was 83 to 99? There were 16 years where you just had to use your imagination of what was going on in Star Wars. Yeah. There's nothing.
People were making stuff up. And then here we are 20 years later.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, remember when people were just making this stuff up? Why don't we use this? Yeah. I like this.
And how ironic is it that the more fantastical universe is more relatable?
Yeah,
like the characters themselves in Marvel are way more fantastical, but it all takes place just on Earth, and you can only so much just on Earth. You know what I mean? Oh, there's like a funny irony there.
100%.
Well, I believe in aliens and spaceships.
They're here now.
The Force, that's a tough one to wrap your head around.
Yeah, what? The aliens are landing on our flat
Earth.
That's
a fantasy.
Right now. Oh my gosh. I don't believe in any of that stuff, but I believe in the Force. It brought us together, boys. It really did. For sure.
That is good. We just have Han Solo level of midichlorians. We don't have Skywalker midichlorians.
That's true. Because I already know that like half of my coworkers are Skrulls. I know that for sure. So
my superpower is making friends.
It's beautiful. It's a wonderful thing. It really is.
That's the best place to end this podcast.
That is perfect. But you got to play the Avengers theme song on the way out. So what do we have? What's going on at the end here? I feel like we've got a show to promote. I feel like we have a thing going on.
Let's do that.
Oh my gosh. We are 30 days away.
Yeah, 30 days away from Mosh Eisley, San Diego Comic-Con. It's at a venue called Music Box in downtown San Diego, July 21st. Tickets are still on sale.
Tickets are more, let's say this, big announcement, maybe not big announcement. For your information, tickets are more than half sold.
Yeah.
So,
but that number, we've been jumping pretty significantly now. I feel like we're starting to see like those big swatches, more people. I think what I've gathered is like, yeah, for sure. And so I don't know if you're watching this and you're like kind of on the fence, if like you should go, I'm going to go and say pretty soon here, you're going to not be allowed to decide if you can go. You're gonna not be able to go. So get those tickets.
Get the tickets. MoshEisley.com. Just general admission tickets are available right now. We will have merch for sale, but the merch bundles are long gone at this point. MoshEisley.com. Tickets. Also, Mike put in the Discord a template for like an ID badge kind of thing.
Sure.
So if you're cosplaying or you're doing a bound or some kind of thing at Mosh Eisley, and you want to make an ID card with your character, if you're a patron, check out the it's the Mosh Eisley channel.
Yep.
That's in there. Yeah. It's a Dropbox link or something. Yep. Do that and then post that, and we'll share it in our stories. It's a good time. Patrons, thanks for being here with us. Thanks for chatting it up. Thanks for all the Top Gun gifts. That always makes my day. If you want to be a patron, viewer, listener, patreon.com/thinkthemakerpod is where you can go to do that. That will get you an ad-free feed of the podcast, exclusive merch, some additional content, all kinds of fun stuff. Patreon.com/thinkthemakerpod. Thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks for watching. Thanks to Roosevelt's for all these shirts we're wearing. And until next time, may the Force be with you.
If you enjoy Thank the Maker, you can support us by following and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Or you can support us directly at patreon.com/thankthemakerpod, where you can get access to our Discord server, exclusive content, exclusive merch, our recording live stream, and more. Our patrons quite literally make Thank the Maker possible.